Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Yes. Sometimes I wonder, do we really understand? Do we really believe what is written in the King James Bible by the Apostle Paul? By reading and studying together with Paul, we find out that we are dead. I don't like that. Really? Colossians 3:3. You should be very, very, very happy. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Praise God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So now, remember this scripture here, Colossians 3:3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What about the fact that the dead, they get buried? We are already buried with him. Oh, come on. Yes, here. Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has risen from the dead. Wait a second. What did we get until now? We read in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. We read in Colossians 3:3, we are already dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Then in Colossians 2:12, we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him. So, not only we are buried, but also we are risen with him. It's together with Christ. My friend, brother, sister, praise the Lord. If you're not just a friend, if you're somebody that hates me, okay, whatever, listen. It's nothing about you, about me. What you and me have done through religion, whatever their religion is called, and whatever... whatever you meet in a place and blah, blah, you forget all that stuff. I'm very delicate. I didn't say nothing too bad. Forget that stuff and consider what God has done in Christ, through Christ, by the cross of Christ, because Christ is God in the flesh. True God, true man. And in his death by resurrection, that's where you find, where I find, our salvation and our life. You see, we are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who had raised him from the dead. You know, in the resurrection of Christ, you can read through the scriptures that the Father resurrected him, that Jesus resurrected himself and the Holy Ghost resurrected him. Of course, he's one God in three persons, but he's one God. And now you and I, we simply believe what is written, that we are dead with Christ, we are buried with Christ, and we are risen with Christ. What about the fact that we are circumcised with Christ? Colossians 2:11. Colossians 2:11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. You see, Satan will work hard, as he's doing, has been doing the last 2,000 years, to bring you under the bondage of a religion of the flesh, of a religion of emotions, feelings, sensations, opinions, interpretations, anything but the gospel of Christ. You never heard, I know you never heard, because I never heard before until I started to study the word, the truth, rightly divided according to 2 Timothy 2:15, studying Paul after I got saved by believing the gospel of Christ, that Christ has circumcised us, but not a circumcision in the flesh, nor even a circumcision of the heart. Those two belong to Israel in the Old and New Covenant, and we are not under covenants. We are not under the law. We are under grace. Thank you be to the Lord God Almighty. The circumcision of Christ is when he has put off, has separated, cut off the body of the sins of the flesh from us. Now, this, the implication of this is amazing. We are already risen with Christ. Colossians 2:12, because we are buried with him in baptism. But this baptism, don't think it's water, because straight away, all of us, we think baptism, water, baptism, water. We're so ruined by religion. The Catholics baptize little children, you know. The evangelicals, no, you know, I got to understand. I make a choice. So they go into the water, the bathtub in the church or in the ocean or in the river or whatever. Both are wrong. And only the Catholic evangelic. Any denomination, any religion where they go through the ritual washing with water are playing the part of Israel. You say, but what are you talking about? Jesus said, go and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and the Great Commission. Yeah, but when you discover that Great Commission is not our Great Commission, it was the Great Commission that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his ministry in the four gospel, after, of course, he was risen, he gave to Peter and the 11 to go all over in all the world to preach the gospel, baptizing them, you know, teaching them all the things that, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and so forth, you know. And then we see this happening in Acts 2. We see this happening in the first chapters of Acts. But, hey, something happened in Acts chapter 7. What? Well, they stoned Stephen, didn't they? Israel stoned Stephen. First of all, let's go back one moment. In Acts 2, there is the descent of the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus is baptizing the little flock with the Holy Ghost. So don't get confused and think that that's you. It's not. Okay? You are baptized by the Holy Ghost when you believe in the gospel of Christ. But let's go. In Acts 2, Peter preaches the famous sermon. First of all, there were no Gentiles, we're all Jews. Those listening. From all nations under heaven, the Jews had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Pentecost, one of the feasts of Israel. Nothing to do with you and me. If you put yourself there, you are proving your ignorance. Okay, fine. You want to be ignorant? Stay. Paul says, if man wants to be ignorant, let him. But if you want to learn, understand that something ends in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. Not begins the church. No, that's not the beginning of the body of Christ. Because even though, as I said before, Peter preached and 3,000, 5,000, 8,000 people got saved. And everybody said, wow, what a great revival. Ooh, I wish this happened in our church nowadays. No, it wasn't very big. There were more than 1 million people in Jerusalem at that time during the Pentecost. So 8,000 people. And not many in percentage to 1 million. Was a little flock. And then they got persecuted, didn't they? Yes, Peter was doing miracles. So was Philip in Samaria. I mean, things were happening really, bam, 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 bam. But after a while, something happened. When Stephen, filled with the Holy Ghost, gave them that preaching, which they gave the history of the betrayal, of the failures, of the unfaithfulness of Israel towards their God, the Father, how they really failed God in the Old Testament. They're going to fail God in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, because guess what? They, Israel, crucified their King Messiah. They reject him. They say, we don't want this man to reign over us. Give us Barabbas. Crucify him. And don't worry, Peter gave them an indictment, a murder indictment on the day of Pentecost. And that's why some of them, they understood, yeah, we're done because it's coming down with a great tribulation. Let's repent, change our mind, and get baptized. Thank God a little group did, but the rest of the nation said, nah, wait, let's get rid of this guy. And when Stephen, filled with the Holy Ghost, preached that, they say, full of anger. You can read this in Acts 7 for yourself. It's too much otherwise. They stone him to death. Now, at this point, Old Testament, they failed and rejected their Father. New Testament, they failed and rejected the Son. And now they reject the Holy Ghost. They commit the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. You say, why? Because Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost. What he was preaching was directly inspired by the Holy Ghost, like all the scripture is anyway. So at this point, you and I, where do we fit? Where do we fit? If we want to be part of this little flock, you know, you can't get saved now by getting water baptism. You cannot be born again. That's not to you. That's to the nation of Israel. Ye must be born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus, to the nation of Israel. We can't be born again. We were never born of God, but Israel was. Am I speaking too fast? Maybe. But we are buried with him in baptism. But this is not water. This is not one of the many water baptisms for Israel, for the nation of God that you find. Only one baptism is for us, and it's dry, dry, dry. There is not a drop of water. It's when the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit, when you believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sin, was buried and rose again, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the second baptism of Jesus, because not many people know that Jesus was baptized twice. In his death, yes, Jesus was baptized twice. But no preacher told you this, because they want you under the law. They want in bondage to themselves, to the denomination, so they can take the tithes and the offerings from you, and they can dunk you into the water, and you are a water-baptized sinner. Okay. Yes, Jesus was baptized twice. At the Jordan, He was baptized by John the Baptist. His name, John the Baptist. Would you believe that the Baptist named themselves after him, who knew nothing about the cross? Anyway, then what did he was baptized? To identify himself with this nation, Israel, to fulfill all righteousness of the law. You cannot identify yourself with Jesus, enter into the bathtub, you know, in the pool, whatever it is. If you think you do, you're crazy. Jesus was sinless. He was God, a man, sinless, perfect. You and I know. We, the sinners, cannot identify ourselves with him. He identified with his nation. We were not in the, I'd say, in the vision there. We were not part of that. At that time, Paul explains that we were without God, aliens, strangers, aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, without God, without Christ, without hope in the world. But now, Paul says, but now, thank you, Lord, Christ has done something. He died for that, on that cross. He was buried, risen, so that anyone, now that Israel is fallen, anyone can be saved by grace through faith, without Israel, without the law, without covenants, without anything, but simply believing what he has done. And at that point, we are buried with him in baptism, meaning in the death of Christ, whereas also he has risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. And listen here, and you being dead in your sins at the circumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now you should be jumping on the chair and say, wow, this is good news. Yes, it is, because you still sin. I still sin. But praise be to God Almighty, Father and Son, Holy Ghost. All our sins, all our trespasses, all our transgression have been taken care of, have been forgiven by the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. So, what do we do with this denominational teachings and churches? I'll tell you what. Just forget them. Throw away into dustbin and embrace by faith the gospel of Christ. Believe the gospel of Christ is death, burial, resurrection, and start studying the word of God, the word of truth from Romans to Philemon, rightly divided. Listen to me. All the Bible is for us. Okay? From Genesis to Revelation. So don't start telling me that I'm chopping off parts of the Bible. No, no, no. I know that everything is written from Genesis to Revelation in 66 books is true, is inspired, is the truth, is the word of God. No worries about that. And anyway, when I speak about the word of God here, is the King James Bible, 1611, the edition revising grammar and syntax and everything, 1669. That's it. Don't come around with NIV, New King James, NASB. This is all rubbish from the devil. There is only one word, and God has got to have one word, and he has got to preserve it. Otherwise, you know, God is no God, and we don't even, you know, we can tell, hey, you didn't tell me, because, no, he said, I told you, and I wrote it down. It was there. In fact, anybody can get a King James for $2, $10, $5, or free on the internet. Okay, so don't start to be too philosophical with new translation that you want to show that you're a professor. You're not. You are a stupid idiot sinner going to hell. But God is merciful and saves you on the spot the moment you believe the death, burial, resurrection of his son on your, for your benefit, like he did with me, because I was more stupid and idiotic and full of whatever sinner until I saw this and said, yeah, all right, sorry, let's forget it all, I trust this. And then when you do believe, God saves you and seals you with the Spirit, and it does what this, you are dead with Christ, buried with Christ, and risen with Christ. So what is our future? We have a new body waiting for us. Let's see. 2 Corinthians 5:1. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know, do you know? For we know that if our earthly house, that's not the house where you live now, you know, is your body, of this tabernacle where dissolved, we have, this is present tense, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Please notice. For in this we groan, earnestly designed to be clothed upon with a house which is from heaven. Do you understand now? Something has changed drastically. Here you are, here I am. In Adam, we're born in Adam, we're sinners, we're under the curse. God is going to kill us any moment and we're going to split hell wide open. Then we hear the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:4. Wait, Christ died for your sins, was buried, and was risen the third day according to the scripture for your justification. Do you believe this? You say, yes. Wow. 1 million things up. Not really 1 million. Many wonderful, glorious things up in the spirit. You don't see it, but happens. God saves you instantaneously, forgives all your sins, baptizes you with the Spirit in the death of Christ. He practically crucifies you with Christ. He practically buries you with Christ. He practically rises you again with Christ. And you are seated in the heavenly. And you have already a new body, a new eternal body in the heavens waiting for you when you finally, you know, cark it. When you leave this land, this earth, you're going to be in the new body prepared for you. And at the moment, if you believe it or not is a fact, but the moment you are saved, you start studying, you believe it. I tell you, you believe it, because I didn't, but now I do. You find out that you already seated with Christ in heaven. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to do something really fantastic, shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Wow. I don't think I need to explain. You just read it. You know, you got this. Get all the scriptures. I'll start reading for yourself. Because in 2 Corinthians, where we were before, 5, verse 5, it says, 2 Corinthians, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Friends, the majority of denominations think they're gonna go in the New Jerusalem, but it is wrong, wrong, wrong. Why? Because the New Jerusalem is coming down from heaven to earth. We are going to heaven. We're going up. New Jerusalem is coming down from heaven. Who is going to New Jerusalem? Israel, not the body of Christ. The New Jerusalem has got 12 foundations with the name of the 12 apostles, the 12 stones representing the 12 stones that were on the pectoral of the high priest, you know, all these beautiful stones, That's all stuff for Israel. There are 12 doors, 12 pairs with the name of the 12 apostles. We don't have 12 apostles. We're not 12 tribes. We have one apostle, the Apostle Paul. We are the new creature, the body of Christ. That's why, hey, if you read Hebrews, it's a beautiful teachings of the new covenant that Jesus is inaugurated for Israel, but it's nothing to do with you. It's written to the Hebrews. That's why it's called Hebrews. Are you a Hebrew? No, so forget it. James, open up and read. It's written to the 12 tribes. 12 tribes scattered abroad. Are you part of the 12 tribe? No. Oh, but I am spiritual Israel. No, you are a donkey. Sorry, I don't want to offend you, but I got to tell you, I was a donkey too. We all donkeys. We are blind, deaf idiots going to hell. That's why we need the word, the truth, rightly divided, enlightening and understanding that comes from the Holy Ghost, from the word of God, for the word, the truth, rightly divided. My friend, yeah, I read Peter, 1st, 2nd Peter. You read it, and it's all to Israel. It's future salvation, future, not now. You say, I don't believe you. Okay, believe me now. Let's see. Oh, this is really terrible the way it is. Sorry, I can't show you this. Unless, just a moment. Yeah, please compare differences between the prophetic program and the mystery program. Please compare. 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith, is talking to the little flock, not to us, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This is the future salvation of Israel. And compare it with Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:9. Not to works, lest any man should boast. We are saved now. Please understand, we are not Israel, but the body of Christ. So, 2 Corinthians 5 is very, very good if you want to understand what God has done, what God has prepared. Because remember, brother, here, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Let's see in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in every place in Christ. I'm just pausing because it's so mind-blowing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so bless the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. The past tense. When? In Christ. With all spiritual blessings, plural, in heavenly places in Christ. You go to those churches where they say that if you tithe, give 10% of your income, even though the tithe was 30%, but they never teach you this. They can't even teach you the proper thing. Anyway, if you tithe, and they put you under the law, they put you under the curse, they use Malachi, you know, well, you are a cursed nation. He's talking to Israel, the Lord, not to us. Anyway, if you tithe, I repeat, if you give the 10% of your hard-earned money, God is going to bless you with a Cadillac, with multiple stories, hours, a villa, and prospering. And the gimmicks and the things they go around to just suck the money out of your wallet. And they use fear because you're cursed. If you don't give me the money, you're cursed. Hey! Those people are servants of Satan. I was one of them. Even though I never took any tithe because I was only a helper. But when I preach this, I use Malachi, you know, and also you say, but you got to tithe because even Abraham tithe. Like if I've got any connection with Israel, I don't. You're not spiritual Israel. And if you believe so, I told you before, We are ignorant, let's face it. But here, God said that our blessings are all spiritual. That's why when we pray, we don't know how to pray. That's why we need the intervention, the intercession of the Holy Ghost. We don't know how to pray as we ought, as we should. Why? Because how do you know? There are 120 spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You can study one by one by reading the letters of Paul and rejoice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for real. But you got to wait until you go there, man. Ephesians 2:6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. My friends, I am on a stand when I consider what God has done, and you has quickened, were dead in trespass and sin, where in time past you were according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. You know this prince of the power of the air, what he's doing now? He's preaching another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit, using the pulpit. Yeah, they're preaching another Jesus. Jesus that wants you to prosper and be healthy. Healthy and wealthy. And they tell you stories. And the only one who are wealthy, not necessarily healthy, are those pastors, preachers, servants of Satan. I mean, Joel Osteen has got a $10 million worth mansion. Well, look what the Pope has got in Rome. They got trillions of dollars. They control the economy. But the average church goer, they pays tithes and offerings to these people is a hard-working man, woman, many times really broke, desperate. I could preach about this for hours, but I'm not going to. I just tell you, come out of that. Trust what Christ has done for you. Get saved by grace through faith. No works. Okay? Just trust that Christ paid for all your sins, was buried, and was risen for your justification. God will get you out from that. Don't worry. He got me out. Sometimes people use a testimonial to encourage other people. Okay, I'll never do this because I don't want people to think that I want to glorify myself. I will not. I will give glory to God, I tell you. I was born and raised Roman Catholic. Okay? In Italy. At the age of 23, I embraced Pentecostalism. I thought I was born again. I started to speak so-called tongues. I thought I was filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, prophesy, and I started to pray for the sick. And to my memory, no one ever got sick, healed. Of the sick I prayed for. But I was convinced that if they didn't get healed, it's because they didn't have enough faith. There was sin in their life. They were not tithing. I was not praying properly. I was a spin doctor for God, like many of those so-called faith healers. I went to meetings with faith healers big ones, full gospel fellowship, so for, you know, businessman fellowship, I saw the tricks when they pull legs and they pretend that people are growing legs. Anyway, I've been in Pentecostal, in charismatic, word of faith for 43 years, being destroyed. In my life, I made so many wrong choices, mistakes, sins of all sorts. And when my father got sick, and I prayed for him, and pastors prayed for him, and they anointed him with oil for healing and everything, and he died, I went in a crisis, you have no idea. My entire life fell apart because I thought that God was a liar, everything was a big lie. But then, the fear of God that I was saying this, so I stayed in the church. I was trying to be even more a spin doctor for God. It's a long story. I don't want to go too much into it. I was, anyway, really, really, really desperate. So I was looking, reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation all over again, reading the gospel, hearing the gospel so many times I almost memorized them. And then going to one church, another church, another church, crying out, fasting, asking God, speak to me. And, you know, very passionate kind of person I am. I am like this, in the good and the bad. Nothing happened. More confusion than ever, more disappointment than ever. Until, by the grace of God, the word of truth rightly divided. The teachings of Paul, the mid-Acts dispensation of Pauline teachings, sound doctrine, start to come to me, and I believed the gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, for real. I understood I had to do nothing. Just simply believe that glorious gospel that happened 3 years ago. I'm 67. I blasted, wasted, what? 64 years of my life in religions. Because anyway, I studied. I didn't tell you that before becoming Pentecostal, I was Buddhist. I was yoga. I was, spiritualist. I read books and stuff, and I participated to a lot of strange, weird religion. Nothing happened, you know. Then when I became Pentecostal, I thought, all right, that's it. But then, 3 years ago, to cut a long story short, because it's very long, I understood grace. Not that now I start to understand. First of all, I got saved for real, thanks to the gospel of Christ, and I start to understand that the doctrine, the sound doctrine for us, the body of Christ, if we are saved, is from Romans to Philemon. I encourage you to do the same thing. Read Romans, read it once, twice, 10, 15, 20 times. The more you read, the more it will open up and you will understand. You say, Mamma mia, oh my, where was I, where have I been? Okay, thank you, Lord, because the moment you believe, doesn't matter the sins. The sins in the flesh, the religious sins, all sins are forgiven. Ephesians, all things are forgiven. All. And, you know, I can only encourage you to do this. I got to go. I wish you great day. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace.